Today we begin a new worship series on the book of Genesis, the very first book in our Bible. The word Genesis means beginnings. And this book of beginnings is really a collection of wonderful stories about the beginnings of the family of faith. Throughout the rest of this summer, we are going to explore the stories in this first book of the Bible and remind ourselves of the lessons they can teach us. First and foremost, as we begin, it is important for us to remember a couple of key points about this book of beginnings. First, we need to remember that the stories told in the book of Genesis are about people who dared to live by their faith in difficult times. Let me say that again. They're stories about people who dared to live by their faith in difficult times. Genesis is a collection of ancient stories about people who claimed their faith in a world where it was not always easy to believe in God. They lived and practiced their faith in a world much like ours today, where good and evil, truth and falsehood, joy and pain were all tangled up together, and sometimes it was really difficult to sort it all out. Genesis is a collection of old stories about people who were going through very hard times and who were trying to find answers to big questions, such as, why do bad things happen to good people? And how can we believe and trust in a good God when tragic and bad things happen in the world? I think this morning about the woman from Indianapolis who survived that duck boat accident in Branson, Missouri. Did you hear about that? She and her family were on that duck boat and they were out on a lake, and then there was this crazy storm that came up and the boat went down. It sank. She lost 9 members of her family, including her husband and her 3 children. How do we believe in a good God when tragic and difficult things happen to us and happen in our world? The second thing to remember is that these stories were for centuries told and retold in oral form. Most likely, the stories were finally written down in what is known as the exile. Sometime during the 6th century after Christ was born, those years when the people of Israel were dragged off to Babylon, a foreign land where they lived in bondage under another king's rule, that's when the stories were actually written down. Before that, they were just told and retold, kind of like what happens when you go to a family reunion and your Uncle Earl or your Aunt Imogene starts telling stories after dinner. Stories about your family and their history. So with this context of the exile as the backdrop, these stories of the beginnings of faith were written down to provide hope for people who were living in the midst of very difficult suffering. It's important to remember that context and background as we hear the stories, the familiar stories of the garden and creation and Adam and Eve and Noah and Jacob and Joseph and all of the rest that we'll be hearing. It's important to remember that context, how to live out our faith when we're facing difficulties, how to live out our faith in a world that seems sometimes to contradict the very things we believe in and contradict the goodness of God. How does the story begin? Well, it begins with the birth of the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the very first verse of Genesis, chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole creation versus evolution argument in this sermon. So sorry to disappoint you if you were hoping for that. Except I want to say one thing. When we remember that the Bible is a book of faith and that the focus on the creation story in the Bible is more of a why and a who of creation rather than on the how, it helps us with that potential conflict between faith and science. And we can talk about that after worship. It also helps if we remember that the words in the first chapter of Genesis are actually poetry. You can take a look later of the whole chapter, read it. It's a poem. It's not a scientific explanation. God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. "And let the waters under the sky be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. Let the waters flow forth, swarms of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth and across the dome of the sky." Can't you hear the poetry in those words? And then there's James Weldon Johnson's famous poem, which I shared a little bit of with the children. He wrote it this way: "Then God stepped out on space and he looked around and said, 'I'm lonely, I'll make me a world.' And then God smiled and the light broke and the darkness rolled up on one side and the light stood up on the other. And God said, 'Now that's good.'" Throughout the creation stories in Genesis, chapter 1 and chapter 2, read carefully because there's actually two creation stories. Throughout those stories, God, like a painter or a sculptor, looked at the creation and said, "Now that's good." Meaning that the creation was what God intended, and it was good, not just sort of good, but very good. The poetry and the artistry remind us that this is a story of faith, focused on God doing the creating and on the creation being what God intends. And the intention that God had, the reason for creation, the why? Goodness. Goodness and blessing and joy. But then, of course, after the beautiful creation was finished, when everything was just so in proper balance and God rested, then came what we know as the fall. Now, I'm not talking about the season. I'm talking about when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they made some choices, which led to some other choices, which led to them being expelled from the garden. I'm talking about Cain and Abel and the violence that erupts between them as one brother kills another in a fit of jealous rage. I'm talking about all the confusion that happened at the Tower of Babel when everyone was speaking in so many different languages and unable to have enough patience to understand one another. The fall. How did we get from the harmony and the beauty of creation to the expulsion of Adam and Eve from the garden, to the brutality and violence of one brother killing another, to the lack of understanding and respect for one another in our beautiful diversity created by God? The God of creation loves us so much that inherent in the creation is freedom. God, who rules over all things, chooses not to be authoritarian, but rather to give us freedom. Not only are you and I free, but we're created, and the creation is also free, to follow the good purposes of God or to reject them. And that's how many theologians describe the fall. Instead of choosing God's good purpose in our freedom, we choose another path. And this path is full of suffering and evil and loss and tears and destruction. But this is not the end of the story. Thank goodness. The same God who stepped out on space and created this beautiful world and all that's in it, including you and me, this same God who gives us the freedom to choose our own path, this same God promises redemption even when we lose our way. This same God promises that ultimately good will be brought out of evil. This is the story of Genesis. From the very beginning, goodness is the way of God. Does it mean that bad things won't happen to good people? No. But does it mean that somehow, through it all, God is always working for good? Yes. That's what it means. Somehow, through it all, God is always working for good, no matter what we face, no matter what happens. As we journey with the people of Genesis this summer, we need to remember that, like us, these people were trying to live by their faith during difficult times, and like us, they don't always make the best choices. And yet, God continued to work with them, to work through them and around them so that beauty and joy and goodness that God intended from the beginning would somehow triumph even in the very face of tragedy and difficulty and loss and heartbreak. In his incredible book, which if you haven't read, I recommend to you, it's called Just Mercy, the author, Brian Stevenson, has this wonderful line that describes God's promise of redemption for all of us and creation. This is what he says. Each of us is more than the worst thing we've ever done. Each of us is more than the worst thing we've ever done. This is the promise of God's creation from the beginning, something for us to hold on to and to live in these days with. Each of us is more, so much more than the worst thing we've ever done. The song that Andy sang earlier, What a Wonderful World, one of my favorites. Thank you, Andy. It was written and performed by the great Louis Armstrong. I recently learned that Louis Armstrong grew up in extreme poverty in New Orleans, Louisiana, and he spent much of his teenage years in a juvenile detention center. One New Year's Eve, when Louis Armstrong was 12 years old, he and some other boys were playing with a pistol, and a shot rang out, and that's how he ended up in juvenile detention. Armstrong was understandably angry at the things that had happened in his life, the injustice of it all, and he acted out in that detention center. And one day, the director decided to hand him a trumpet, exchanging the metal of a revolver for the metal of an instrument, and that's how his legendary career began. Think about that. Louis Armstrong. Genesis reminds us, each of us, that we are more than the worst thing that's ever happened to us or the worst thing we've ever done. God is always working for good. Consider the following. At age 23, Oprah Winfrey was fired from her very first reporting job. At age 27, Vincent van Gogh failed as a missionary, and he decided, you know, maybe I'll go to art school. At age 28, J.K. Rowling, author of the Harry Potter books, was suicidal and a single parent living on welfare, and designer Vera Wang failed to make the Olympic figure skating team, and she didn't get the editor-in-chief position at Vogue magazine. So at age 40, she thought, I'll design a dress and see how it goes. On Mother's Day, you heard from one of my spiritual mentors, the Reverend Jack Harnish, when he preached here from this pulpit. Jack has a twin brother named Jim Harnish, who is also a retired United Methodist pastor. Jim has written a number of books, including one now out of print called Journeys with the People of Genesis. I borrowed his title for our series. In that book, Jim Harnish writes these words: "To live by faith is to live in the constant tension between good and evil, to be caught in the tug and pull of God's good purpose for creation and the reality of evil that's all around us. But to live by faith is also to know that one day God will see the creation's goodness fully restored. One day God will see the world again as it was on that first dawn of creation. One day, God will say again of the entire created order, 'Now that's good.' Amen."